Is my mic on? Check, check. No? It keeps.
Is it on now? Okay. I'm going to close this so-called year.
Your mic's not on.
Hitting the button. No, there it is. Worked that time. All right. So I'm going to close the year with a message that is basically the fly leaf on the other end of the book of this year, 2020. Now, when you think about 2020, I keep hearing people saying this will be one of the hardest struggling years that we've ever gone through. And there's no doubt that there have been a lot of challenges and struggles and a lot of illness and a lot of death. But it's interesting that God had laid on my heart before last January, this past January, that we ought to focus on His love this year. 2020, the year of love, thinking about how much God really does love us. And God had also laid on my heart that every single day I would begin the day by posting a devotional online, and it has to do with His love. And in fact, He's already put on my heart what this next year is about, and then the year after that. So 2020, the year of God's love, this coming year, 2021, the year of God's light. And then 2022, if He allows me to keep going here, the year of God, the year of the Lord. So the love, the light, and the Lord. And just want to really focus on those things as we go along. I want to finish up today with a message on the gift. As we've been talking about Christmas and the gift of Christ, I want to talk about this gift of love that God has given us. I mean, there's no greater gift that we could ever think about than the gift of love. But there's two passages I want to look at today, and we're going to spend most of our time on the second passage, but the first cannot be passed over. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 53, and it's verse 6. And it says this: "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus, on him, the iniquity of us all." The iniquity of us all. I mean, this just tells me again that Jesus paid the sins of every single person, as the Scripture tells us. And again, it's kind of frustrating and mind-blowing to me that there's many people who say, "Oh, well, when it talks about the sins of the world, it's not really meaning the whole world." Oh, yes, it is. It's what it says. We don't have to try to, you know, put it into something that will make it fit into our theology. Theology is what God knows and what He's done and what He's about. But anyway, the bottom line is this: He has laid on Jesus the sins of us all, the iniquities of us all. And then, of course, probably the verse that most everybody who knows anything about the Bible knows this verse is John 3:16. And you've probably quoted it so many times and read it so many times and heard it so many times that you might think, well, there's nothing else there that I need to hear about God's love. But I just want to go through it one more time. Just humor me and stick with me today as we go through this passage. John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Father, I come to You and I ask that You will bring these words to life today, not only in my own heart, but in every heart who's listening, and everyone who hears this, whether it's today or in sometime in the future. I pray, Lord, that they will see and understand the incredible, amazing gift that You've given us through Jesus Christ, and it is your love. For God so loved the world that He gave. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to take a look today at this kind of love, this gift of love that God has given us. Now, let me just start off by saying this kind of love is not the kind of love that most people think love is. What I mean by that is, you know, we use the word love so flippantly sometimes. Man, I love the Broncos. I love going to get pizza. I love the, and we just use it in all kinds of, but this is not the kind of love that God's talking about. God's kind of love is, first of all, unconditional. Absolutely no conditions attached. God loves you. Period. He loves you. He loves every person. Every single person who's ever lived, He loves them. Every single person that will still come, He loves them. God so loved the world. Now, when you think about the world, again, you think about, what does that mean? Well, the Greek term is literally cosmos. It's talking about the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of mankind that is alienated from God and therefore is hostile to the cause of Christ. Now, what do you mean? You mean people really don't want to hear about God? Yeah, there's a lot of people like that, aren't there? And in fact, most everybody who knows the Lord now, at some time in their life, didn't really want to bother with Him. Because they just didn't want to have to change. They didn't want to have to give up their own selfish desires. They didn't want any of that. But God so loves even those who don't love Him. In fact, who hate Him, who despise Him. God so loves this world. This is the world that we live in, and this is the world that God loves. So just remember, no matter how frustrating or angry you might be at somebody because of the way they act or what they've done or what they continue to do, God loves them. Absolutely loves them. Somebody asked me one time in seminary, do you think God really loved Adolf Hitler? Yes, absolutely. He loves everybody. He loves everybody. In fact, I recall not too long ago, Dr. James Dobson took the time to go to a prison down in Florida to speak to the worst serial killer that America's ever seen, and asked if he could have a sit-down talk with this man. And they thought, first of all, no, he's in isolation. We've not let anybody see him. He's supposed to serve out his sentence in isolation. And so he asked if they could just allow him 15 minutes with this man. Now, you can imagine being in isolation, what that's like. You can't talk to anyone. You can't watch any TV. You can't listen to any radio. You're by yourself, period. But when James Dobson went in and sat down with this man who had been convicted of multiple murders, he just said, I want to tell you something. God loves you. And he used this verse and said, God so loved you that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Well, long story short, after stretching the time a little longer past 15 minutes, James Dobson led him to Christ. And even though this man died in prison, he's in heaven because God loves him. God loves you. He doesn't love what we do a lot of times. That's totally different. But He loves us. This is the world that God loves. And by the way, He doesn't just love good people. He doesn't just love churchgoers. He doesn't just love the saints. That's not the football team, by the way. He loves everyone. God loves every single person. In fact, I heard somebody say this one time, you can't be bad enough that God would ever stop loving you. That's unconditional love. That's loving with no strings attached. God so loved the world. Now, we have to understand that if God so loved every single person and still does, the question that comes to my mind is, why would He love us that much? Why would God love people like that? Why would God love Adolf Hitler? Why would God love all these people? Why would God love them that much? In fact, why would God love those who even hate Him? That's what really makes me, especially as a young Christian, made me try to understand, how could God love somebody who hates Him? Why would He love those who hate Him? Because He is love. God is love. That's what He does. It's who He is. There's nothing that He could do except love them. Why would Jesus come to be despised and rejected and beaten and broken and impaled and crucified? Why would Jesus do that? Because He loves them. And He loves you. And He loves me. Why would He take your sins to the cross? Because He is love. You see, the only explanation is that His love compelled Him to do what He did. That's the only explanation. God so loved the world that He gave. That's why He came. John chapter 10, chapter 1 verse 10 says, He was in the world and through the world, and though the world has made... I'll say this again. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. In other words, there's so many people that hear the name of Jesus, they don't know that's God. They just believe He was some kind of a leader, some kind of a spiritual person. It's God in the flesh. He came. Even though they didn't recognize Him, He came for them. John 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, He told them, keep in mind that it hated me first. Why would God come into a world that hates Him? Because He loves them. This is true, unconditional love. For God so loved the world that He gave. This is the sacrificial part of love. You see, if you really love someone, you'll sacrifice for them. You will sacrifice for them if you really love them. You'll give up things that you wish you had and that you wanted because you want to meet someone else's needs. God so loved the world, He so loved every person in this world that He gave. This is the action of love. Love put into action. God didn't just say, I love you guys. Hope everything comes out okay. No. God's love so compelled Him that He gave. And by the way, folks, that's not just a statement or a proclamation. It's a demonstration. You see, God, when He says, I love you, then He demonstrated His love. In fact, that's what Romans 5:8 says. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. This is a demonstration of His love. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This sacrificial love was put into action. God shows us that true love has nothing to do with what you can do for me, but everything to do with what I can do for you. Again, God didn't just say it. He said it, and then He gave it. He gave His love. And the application for us is this. Because He did what He said He was going to do, we can have complete forgiveness. I don't know if you realize this or not, and sometimes it's hard to let it sink in and comprehend it, but every single sin that you've ever committed in your whole life, and I think I talked about this one time, if you were a pretty good person and only sinned 3 times a day, 365 days, that's about 1,000 sins a year, and you live to be 75. Add up the sins. That's a lot of sins. Right? But God didn't just pick and choose which of those sins to forgive, because He either has to forgive you completely or He doesn't forgive you at all. Because when people come to heaven because they've been forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus, they're coming as completely forgiven and clean and whole and made brand new, because if they didn't come that way, heaven wouldn't be heaven. Right? So God showed His true love by doing this for us. Complete forgiveness. The Scripture calls us justified. We are justified in Christ. And I always remember it by saying, justified, never sinned. That's how God sees you, through the blood of Jesus. So God gives His unconditional love, and He gives His sacrificial love. For God so loved the world that He gave. Thirdly, He gives His valuable love. What did He give? $150,000? No. Did He give some kind of token that you can pick up and take it with you? No. What did He give? His only Son. God gave His only Son. It was something about great value that He would take on the flesh of a person and dwell in this world amongst people. That tells me the worth of you and me. That's how much God loves you. That He was willing to put Himself into the form of a man, to walk upon this earth. And by the way, you know, God could do anything, right? So when Jesus was traveling all around and telling people about God's love, He could have teleported anywhere. Now I had to walk 14 miles from one town to another. But He walked. He walked and he talked with people, and His disciples began to hear Him and learn from Him. You see, he allowed Himself to be in a body. Why? Because you are worth that. Do you realize how valued you are by God? I think sometimes we think we think about God's love and we know that He loves us. But His love shows us how much He values us. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, Jesus asked this question, how much more valuable are you than they? God loves you so much. Of course, God loves all of creation. But He loves you. His prized creation, man, He loves you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 12. How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus says, listen, don't you realize how much God values you? Luke chapter 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. How much more valuable are you than the birds? We've got to realize that His love shows us how much we are worth to Him. But His love also shows us how valuable the worth of Christ is. You see, God didn't give us part of Himself. He gave us all of Himself. He gave all that He had. He held nothing back. God didn't say, you know, I'm going to partially give some forgivenesses out here and there, you know, but if I do it all, you know, no. God gave everything that He had. God so loved the world that He gave His only. He didn't give out of His abundance, out of everything that He owns, or everything in this universe, but He gave His only Son. It was unconditional, it's sacrificial, it's valuable. Fourthly, it's personal. He gave His only Son. The Son is the manifestation of who God is. The visible image of the invisible God. He became flesh. God put on flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh, and He made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. God says, listen, you can't really comprehend me. You can't. He had told Moses, you can't even look upon me and live. It's hard for us as humans to truly understand the magnitude of who God is. But He said, listen, I will take on the form of flesh, and I will walk among you and allow you to experience the Spirit of the Father. And so He did. John chapter 1, verse 29, just a little bit long, farther down in that passage. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. God manifested Himself. He was fully God, and He was fully man. You might say, well, how could He be fully God and be fully man? Because He's God. In fact, in the very first part of John chapter 1, it tells us in verses 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God Himself took on the form of flesh, came into this world so that He could be the light of God for every person. Now, I just want to stop for just a minute and say this. There's a lot of people in this world, they don't want to hear about God. They don't want to know that you know about God. They're not really interested when you try to tell them about God. But I believe one of the reasons is because many times we are not living the light of God. We're not letting His light shine through us. Because I know what Jesus said. He says, if I'm lifted up, I'll draw all people to me. If we lift up the church, if we lift up the things that we do as a church, if we lift up our good works, if we lift up all these other things, people are going to go like, oh yeah, it's just another religion. I've heard about them all. But when we lift up Jesus and allow Him to shine through us, they will be drawn to that light. We've got to be the ones who are shining in a really, truly dark world. And by the way, folks, we just finished up a few months ago the study through the book of Revelation. If you haven't gone through that, it's online. You can go back and listen to it. I would encourage you to do so. And I'm just saying this not to be a doomsday guy or anything like that. But let me tell you, according to God's Word, things are not going to get better. They're going to get worse. You know, we think this COVID pandemic that we're in is bad, and it is, but it's nothing compared to what's going to come. There are much worse things that are going to happen to this world. And you might say, well, if God loves us so much, how could he let all this happen? I hear people ask me questions like that all the time. If God really loves us, why would he let us go through all this? Listen to me. God has to allow these things because of us, our sin. See, he made a perfect world and we messed it up. We chose to go the wrong way. We chose all the things that would bring the destruction that's going on right now. And the illness and the harm and all those things. It's not his fault. It's our fault. He gives us unconditional love, sacrificial love, valuable love, and a personal love through his son. But the great thing about it is he also gives us accessible love. What do you mean by that? Well, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him. Listen, folks, this is not limited atonement. I just got to be really clear on that one more time. And I know I mention it from time to time, but I just need everybody to understand this. God did not come and die for select people. God came and died to atone for the sins of the whole world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him. Whosoever means anyone. If it didn't mean that, God would say something different. God so loved the select. God so loved the few. God so loved the ones who feel like they are very special. No, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what Scripture tells us. It's not limited atonement. And by the way, folks, the one act of God that's so visible to me is this, that he came to us. He didn't shout this from the heavens and just hope everybody heard it. He didn't text everybody's phone just to tell you about it, because you probably wouldn't see it. What he did was he came in person to let people know that he loves them so much. Why did he come to us? So we could see him, so we could know him, so we could experience him. That whosoever believes in him. By the way, folks, a gift is only a gift if you receive it. If somebody gives you a gift and you don't take it, it's not a gift. Now, you can't make anybody take it. If I could, I would. But I can't make anybody take this gift that God has given. A gift is only a gift if you receive it. Have you received the greatest gift that's ever been given? Now, think about that. There's been some pretty amazing gifts given, I believe. You know, I read about every once in a while these very wealthy people who decide that they're going to buy a multi-million dollar house and give it to their wife or whatever. And I'm going like, okay, I guess that's nice if you can afford it. But listen, folks, there's never been a gift given like this. Nor will there ever be another one given again like this. The question is, have you received this gift? Because if you've not received it, it's not a gift. It's something that you decide you don't want. God will not make you take it. But you recall when the angels came, they said, "We're bringing you news of great joy that will be to all the people." The mega news is that the great joy shall be for all people, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Listen, folks. He came and gave us unconditional love and sacrificial love and valuable love and personal love and accessible love. But I want to finish up with this. And folks, all those things are good to know. But the benefit of this love is the bottom line. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever would believe in Him, here it is, should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does that mean, everlasting life? It first of all means complete forgiveness. I believe some of you who are saved are acting like you've really never been forgiven. That you've never really understood that you are absolutely forgiven of every sin in your whole life. But you allow those sins to just continue to strangle you and hold you down. Listen, folks, every sin was placed upon Christ upon the cross. And He paid the penalty for them all. I mean, you think about the fact that Jesus was willing to do that for you and for me. But so many Christians that I know act like they haven't received this forgiveness. What more could He do? I mean, how plain does He have to make it for us? How plain does He have to make it for you? Why would He do all of this? Because He's done this for you, because He loves you. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you received complete forgiveness? Well, He's given it. Will you receive it? It brings complete forgiveness and it brings complete acceptance. God didn't say, "I love you so much that I'll send my only Son, that whosoever cleans up their act, I will receive them." No, that's not what He says. What He says is, "I'll accept you just like you are. Right where you are. With all your bumps and bruises." It's interesting to me how easy it is to love somebody that you really are really committed to, no matter what condition they're in. A good example of that is, as a young boy, I lived on a little ranch outside of Buena Vista, Colorado. And went down to the barn one day. I was about 3 years old. And, you know, little kids just run around outside and play when you live out on a ranch. And walked into that barn and I saw a little cat and I wanted to pet it. Didn't realize it was a black and white cat. That had a white streak down his back. I didn't realize that. I just wanted to pet him. He didn't really want me to pet him, so he turned around. The rest you can understand. I got the full load, and needless to say, I wasn't a really happy kid at that point. And so I went running back to the house. And I was screaming and crying, and my mom met me at the door going like, "What's wrong?" And before I got 25 yards from her, she said, "Stop! Just stop!" And I thought, how can my mom, who loves me so much, tell me to stop and not that I can't run and grab her and hold her and, you know, she make it all better? How could this happen? And she says, "You stop right there. And you take off your clothes." and you put them in a pile. And then she came out with tomato juice and washed me down and all kinds of stuff. And yeah, probably didn't smell that much better. I smelled more like a stinking tomato than just a stinker. But the fact is that she had to make sure that she took care of some stuff before she could love me back again. But Jesus takes you just like you are. He has accepted you. Why? Because of His love. So the question is, will you accept that love? You don't have to. So many, I would say more people in the world have not accepted His love than have. Which I have a hard time understanding. For me, it's easy to see. For me, it was wonderful to hear about as a young child. And when I was 14, I finally understood it completely enough to say, Lord, I want to receive Your forgiveness. And I want to follow You and call You my Lord. But I believe there's people that are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old who just feel like there's no way that God could truly forgive them. Let me tell you something. Not because Pastor Rod is standing here to tell you, but because God Himself is telling you, I love you so much. I was willing to take all your sin and die upon a cross and pay the sin debt for you. That's how much I love you. Won't you accept my love? What else can He do but love you that much? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's just an incredible picture in Your Word of how much You love us. Probably one of the greatest passages in all of Scripture, because it simply tells us that Your love will never run out. It'll never fail. You have paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. You so loved us that You gave Your Son. And then You said, whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we don't deserve that. What we deserve is to be separated from You forever. We deserve Your wrath, not Your love. And yet, God, You've come and demonstrated Your love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Father, that means two things. One, for those who already know You as Savior and Lord, that kind of love cannot be stifled. We can't hold it back. We can't act like it's something we can hand out at certain points to certain people. We've got to be telling everybody about Your love. And for those who've not received Your love yet, it's simply as straightforward as possibly could be. All they have to do is open up their heart and receive what You've done for them. Lord, I pray today, if there's anyone listening who's not yet done that, today would be the day. You would open up your heart to God and say, Dear Lord, I need You. I need what You've done for me when You paid the price for me on the cross. I need You. I want You to be my Lord. I give You my life. Forgive me, Lord. Thank You for forgiving me. Lord, I know someone would pray a prayer like that, You would hear them, and You by Your Holy Spirit would come and live within them and give them eternal life. But it's up to every person to make that decision. And I can't make anyone do it. If I could, I would, but I can't. But I would beg anyone to trust Jesus as their Savior. Because there's nothing more important than knowing the love of God and His forgiveness. Lord, I pray that people will hear this and they will give their life to You. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just